28 minutes past 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, and as regular on a Wednesday, Gavin Steinhobel from Kloppers Inc. is in the house. It was interesting, Gavin. Welcome, by the way.
Yeah, nice thank you. It's good to be back. I like the morning scene. It's
fresh.
More relaxed. Monday afternoons, I was a bit frazzled, I must say, after the return to the desk on a Monday. This is nice and relaxed.
Well, the morning does tend to be more optimistic as the day wakes up and brightens up and freshens up. And, it's been an interesting week, as generally speaking, the news is being made by the minute. You know, it's just incredible the way things are unfolding. The world is changing rapidly. There are all sorts of, well, shall we say, there are predictions being made by those that profess to know. No one knows what's happening at the moment. It's just absolutely peculiar.
I think you can say that to a certain degree, but there are certain... There's certain actions that have predictable consequences, and I think that the ANC has put a massive spoke in our economic wheel again. They have taken an action which I think is going to cast a very long shadow on us, and that is trying to smuggle in the idea of confiscation of land or expropriation without compensation. Everybody must be tired of hearing about it this week. But it has created a massive problem, and that is that undermining property rights goes against the Western world order.
You know, and it was interesting. We had a conversation earlier with Steph Buerta from Rainmaker, and they take a pretty considered view of all sorts of factors. And he was saying that, there are these things that are sent to try us, and sentiment does play a large role. But despite that, the wise money is still pumping into property. And this is an interesting thing to hear, because the returns are historically very good.
Yeah, it depends. You know, property has various sectors in it. I mean, you know, this little piece of legislation, which I don't believe will stand, but in any event, it's aimed at at the agric sector more than it's aimed at sort of the... But the point remains that it is... I often listen to Brett Weinstein's Dark Horse podcast, and he's an evolutionary biologist, and he says, you know, what people often do is when you get complicated systems and you get complex systems. Like a watch is a complicated system. So when you meddle with it and you take one of the little cogs out, you can figure out what's going to happen. The human body is a complex system. So when you tinker with this, it has a whole lot of unforeseen consequences in the body, which are known as side effects. And so an economy is the same. It's not a complicated system. It's a complex system with several little interrelated cogs and wheels, and it's not a simple thing. So when you meddle in the economy, you always have unintended consequences. So when you start undermining property rights, for instance, it seems like, well, it's, you know, some people have more than others, just take it away. Well, you know, that sort of socialist communist thinking has never solved anything, because every country that's gone down that road has eventually destroyed their economy. Why? Because nobody invests in a place where the government is entitled, and by law and without you having any rights. As soon as you make it in life, or as soon as you build up property, or as soon as you improve your property, or as soon as you have a factory or a refinery or whatever, the government can nationalize it or take it away, because nobody would invest in a system like that, because there's no security in your property rights. That's why when Cuba nationalized, for example, all the oil refineries that belonged to the Americans, that was the end of Cuba economically. Now, Javier Milei made the best speech I've ever heard that summarizes the state of the world as it was when at Davos at that date. And he said, you know, Argentina was the fourth richest country in the world 100 years ago. And then they went on the socialist crusade, where government was involved in everything and regulated everything and owned a lot of things. And their country went from fifth or fourth in the world to almost last in terms of poverty, and it was just a joke. And he's turning that around. He's saying, we're finished with this experiment. We want a healthy, thriving economy. We want an economy that's fourth biggest in the world again. We want to pay off our debt, our foreign debt, and we want to run a tight ship, and we want everybody employed. And he got rid of this department and that department, and in a year, he's almost broken even, and redressed a lot of the inherited debt and that they've got. So, you know, he's shown what is possible if you choose the right way or the high road, as Clem Sunter used to say. Now, we're sitting here, and we're still playing a socialist game long after everybody who's tried it has realized it's not a good game. I always remember Carl Niehaus once told me that when Nelson Mandela was being inaugurated, the delegations were coming in one after the other, and the one he was most excited to see was the Chinese Communist Party. And when they came in, he said, look, you know, they've got wonderful ideas. They're going to nationalize the mines and nationalize this and that. And the Chinese said, whoa, hang on, that doesn't work, you know. And he was crestfallen and disappointed because he thought that was the way forward. And that mentality still pervades the ANC. So, you know, we have to start moving away from things that don't work.
You believe Carl Niehaus? The guy's mother's died three times.
That's a fair comment, but that was what he told me. And, I mean, he's a communist himself, so I was quite surprised that he would.
What is he? I mean, he changes his outfit regularly. Yeah.
I don't want to make this about the Carl, wind blows. Carl Niehaus. But, you know, we're playing a very, very dangerous game with the lives of everybody in this country and our economy. By behaving in this roguish fashion. The point I was going to make is that after Javier Milei made his speech, all the countries that have been flirting with a more and more democratic socialist model were there, especially the Europeans, and in a large extent as well the Americans. And they all stood up and applauded him because everybody has realized that the free market essentially creates goods and services, and that's what drives everybody and makes everybody more wealthy. Government is an interference. It should be kept to a minimum, and it should only do the jobs that can't be done by the private sector.
It makes sense.
So now our government with Bella is trying to get more of a stranglehold on schools and get rid of the idea of the parents having a big contribution to schools or running schools. They want to start, you know, obviously they have in mind expropriating land without paying for it. I've listened with shock and horror to the Democratic Party, and everybody's saying, well, this is not really what it looks like. It is exactly what it looks like. And the reason I say that is because in 2018, the ANC tried to amend the Constitution to allow for expropriation without compensation by deleting the clause in the Constitution that forbids it. They failed. They almost did it. In fact, the only reason that they didn't get it over the line is because their partners in that vote, the EFF, said they haven't gone too far. They should be nationalizing everything, and they refused to vote in favor of it. But they could have carried it in 2018, and they didn't. And the reason that they didn't was the hubris of the EFF, who said, listen, you know what, we want you to go all the way, or otherwise we're not supporting you. Mm. All right?
Do you think
so
that
then after that, the ANC licked their wounds, but it's still on their agenda. They still want this ability to take without compensation. And
but you in the preamble to this actually stated that you don't think that it is going to stand
I don't think it will, but I don't think they're going to be doing this straight off the bat with Anton Rupert or somebody like that, who can defend themselves and can be drawn into enormous legal costs and years and years. You must remember that if you're drawn into this and you want to make your point in court, you're going to have deep pockets, right? You're going to.
Is the Democratic Alliance not taking the matter on review?
They say so now, and I think they've got to be very careful how they handle this, because at the moment, if they are seen as, I mean, the ANC just doesn't even regard the Democratic Party as much of an issue to them, because, you know, they're doing whatever they want to. I mean, all this legislation that is socialist in its nature is coming through thick and fast, and there just seems to be no resistance. And I think the Democratic Party need to be very, very careful, because they're going to have a catastrophic loss of voters if they're not seen to oppose these things. Mm. Because that's their job, you know, that's why we have them there.
Well, Gavin, you certainly call it like you see it, and you've put the fear of everything into me, anyone listening. What's the good news this week?
I don't want to say that. Well, the good news is that people are paying attention, and I want people to pay attention, and I'm horrified when... you know, when you go on social media and we have politicians of both sides of the aisle saying, well, it's not as bad as all of that. It is as bad, and we need to stop it and nip it in the bud. And so there is an awareness. There is civic society as well. I enjoyed Franz Cronier's little thing on social media. He was on Biz News, I think, and he said, look, you know what's happening here is what was happening when Pik Botha was waving his finger at America and saying, well, we don't need you. We'll just get on with it. And Chase Manhattan Bank stopped all capital flows between the two countries. And next thing, we went into a situation where interest rates went up to 25%.
Ah.
And.
I think that was PW, not Pik.
Yeah. Oh, your PW. But in any event, now we've got Cyril waving his finger at America, and I'm going, well, that's just a very, very bad idea.
Yeah, I think that everyone agrees with that, and I'm pretty confident that there's going to be some kind of high level delegation rapidly deployed, hopefully this is true, to go and have a round table, because there's been an awful lot of misinformation attached to it,
hasn't
there?
What's also been interesting for me is that there's been no real public support from the other BRICS countries,
yeah,
because they trade with the US. And they go, well, you wouldn't poke that bear, you're on your own. So, you know, we're all friends, but we're not that friendly. We're tiny in BRICS economy-wise and so forth. We're not that very important.
But you know what's interesting? We were having a chat earlier because King was in Russia last year with a delegation of, among others, South African youngsters. Yeah. Won't you unwrap it?
Yeah, so at a financial security Olympiad.
Yeah.
So it's an annual financial security Olympiad teaching youngsters from high school into varsity on financial security, so money laundering matters and issues and the like.
And you were of the opinion that there is a future because these were the brightest young minds that you had encountered for years.
100%. And also what they're learning... And these are youngsters coming from 37 different nations, all coming together and learning in context of their own countries. So it was so interesting, you know, that, you know, this initiative that's been going on for 4 years, this is going to be the fifth year, you know, backed up by His Excellency Putin, you know, on matters that are still relevant to every single country and economy.
And sort of from a Western democratic and economic perspective, was this a socialist trend, or were they talking about capitalism when it came to financial controls?
So I think it covered all aspects and all elements of financial security. So, but looking at it from a socialist perspective as well as from a capitalist perspective, yeah.
And you were impressed?
I was impressed. I was highly impressed. The content was phenomenal. I mean, we obviously couldn't make it through to, as coordinators, we couldn't make it through to the examination rooms.
Yeah.
So we didn't necessarily know exactly what they're going through in terms of the content that they're learning. But, you know, it was, you know, a lot of that content was shared throughout various discussions throughout the Olympiad, and a lot of that stuff is really relevant to what we're experiencing right now. So I mean,
it's interesting that there seems to be a future.
Well, when I go on social media, I try not to do it too much because you can get quite depressed when you look at what some of your fellow humans think and believe. You start feeling like the one philosopher who said there's two types of people in the world, avoid both. You know, I see a lot of African voices, people who are thinking more progressively, who aren't in the old modes of thinking, who are angry about the way that the ANC has let them down over 30 years, who can perceive that it would be better for us to be a player in the world than to be the kid in the corner who's taking his ball home to mom, you know. And so I think there's definitely the change in this country won't come quickly, but it'll come through the youth. It always has.
Mm.
And I think young people are a little bit more educated with respect to those that are currently in power, a little bit more savvy. They've got access to global news. They've got access to everything that they need to form opinions. not just be fed opinions by the state and by the mainstream media. And so I think that's our salvation. And I can definitely see that young people today are more on it than perhaps their parents were.
And that's a very nice, upbeat point. To
You're waiting for that point.
Yes. With Gavin, I have to find the sunshine.
I do sometimes get a bit angry. And the reason that I get so angry, Dave, is it's such a great country with such great people.
Yeah.
And there's no problem on the ground between people. And in our society and in our communities, we all get along perfectly on the ground.
Yeah.
And then we have these people. You know that story about the ants, they all get along fine in the jar until you shake the jar up and then they start attacking each other. And we all get along fine in our little jar and then the politicians shake the jar and we start fighting with each other. And you know this expropriation without compensation bill has created so much racist vitriol on social media and in our societies again, and it's us versus them again. And it's not we're not one country again. And so, you know, we need to also hold our politicians to account, and they have to be a bit more responsible in their rhetoric and don't always fall back on race, because, you know, we every time it seems like these sores are healing over, they have to go and pick at the scabs again.
Yeah, and well, hopefully, as you say, there is a future, and the future is going to be, I'm cautiously optimistic, a bright one, because of the fact that we have a nation of people that are able to ride the slings and arrows, and we have done, you know, through history. Looking back at South Africa, that I don't think there's ever been an age where we haven't been facing impossible difficulties, and somehow we managed to hold together. So here's hoping that
old Jannie Smuts quote, where he said that South Africa is a country that's never as good as it should be and never as bad as it could be.
Like that one. And there we definitely will pause until we reconvene in a week's time with Gavin Steinhope. But if you're looking for a good attorney, folks, you'll find him down in the Belita Village under the banner Kloppers Inc. Gavin, thanks so much. We'll catch up in a week. This will be up as a podcast as well shortly, folks. If you've just joined us and you're wondering what the conversation was all about, well, there it is. You'll be able to listen on demand. And the morning show continues.